The week's parsha is a very complex parsha with many aspects to it. One of the most interesting things is after we finish Parsha Shavuos and Nedarim, previously in Parshas Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe Rabbeinu, Svaris HaMidyonim Hikisim Olsom, Kitzorim Heim Lachem. He didn't tell him when, didn't say, he said, this is on the future agenda. Here he says something, Nekom Nikmas B'nai Yisrael, make war with the Midyanim, and after that, your life is over and you'll die. Moshe Rabbeinu told by Dabba Moshe Omleimur, he holds the mitchem and Noshim Lotzov. Let's go. Moving right away, we have to make a war. Now that's very interesting. He could have said, if we do it in a month from now, I'll live another month. And he could have delayed, he could have something. Moshe Rabbeinu is an Eved Hashem. An Eved means his entire identity is his Odin. His entire identity is being subject to his Odin's will. And that is his Metzius. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of Zos HaBrocha, it says, Vayomosha Moshe, Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu and what is the hesped for Moshe Rabbeinu? He's the Eved Hashem. Chaim Volozhin writes in the beginning, Ruach Chaim, his parish, to Pirkei Avos, very strange thing in Pirkei Avos. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai yimasor leYeshua, Yeshua leZakenim. There's an imbalance there. Should be Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Yeshua kibel Torah miMoshe, Zakenim kiblu Torah, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mosar Torah leMoshe. Sorry, Yeshua. Yeshua is Canaan. One is Kibel and one is Mosar. What is the reason for the difference? Chaim Volozhin explains that Moshe was a very unique individual. He was an Eved Hashem. Chazal tell us that Shechina Madaberes Mitol Grono. What does that mean? When Moshe spoke, it was as if the Shechina was talking. So Chaim Volozhin explains, each one of us, Akoach HaDibur, it's a Ruach Memalulah, it's part of our Tzelem Elokim. But when we talk, there are multiple voices that are talking. And there's our ego talking, there's this that's talking, there are many different voices happening. Moshe Rabbeinu, there was only one voice. His total submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, there was no ego, there was nothing beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. So when he talked, the only thing that was talking was an expression of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Shechina Matever, as we told Grona. Everybody else, there's some ego there, there's certain calculations there, and all sorts of things that are happening. Moshe was the pure Eved Hashem who had no independent will and no independent goals except total submission to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Moshe could be the vehicle through whom the Torah is given. That's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you'll die immediately after war with Midian, Moshe didn't hesitate. He knew it was Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they waged war with Midian, and he did it immediately. Now, after the war with Sichon and Og and Midian, Klal Yisrael, besides all the money they had taken out of Mitzrayim, now had a massive amount of wealth. Umikne Raf, Oyo Levnei Ruven Levnei Gorot Zumot. Now, they took gold, they took silver, they took sheep, they took cattle, they took goats, all sorts of things. So, no one can have everything, and they began trading. And B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruven ended up with a tremendous amount of flock. And they saw Aver Yarden, and there's tremendous pasture there. And they said, Gosh Baruch gave us this land. So they began with a lot of people, begin the same way, to try to psychologize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this land, he must have wanted us to do something with it. So we're willing to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told what he wanted them, he told them, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. What's going to be with that land? Leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they sort of preempted it. They had their needs, and they cloaked it with Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then, since this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, they want Moshe Rabbeinu to agree with them and go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give them the land. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't like this. He said, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Chemdo. This is a very special place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you're undermining the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't want to go where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to go. And it's more or less the same as the Meraglim. You don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he accused them, he says, Shuvim Me'achrov, you're turning your back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number one. Number two, says, and you'll discourage the rest of Klal Yisrael from going into Eretz Yisrael. They heard what Moshe Rabbeinu said, but they only heard half. We won't discourage them. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hachechem yavol l'milchoma v'atem teishu po. Everyone fought this war, but you'll stay here and they'll fight that. And everything else Moshe Rabbeinu told them about turning their back on the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they simply didn't hear. So they say, no. Gidros so nivnel makneinu po, yoram l'tapenu. Anachnu necholei tzchushim lifnei b'nei Yisrael. Ha'lasherim hevi onu mel makoma. He says, we'll fight with them. And then they told Moshe Rabbeinu something, because we will not settle in the other side of the Yarden. We are settling here. And that's a fact. They presented Moshe with a fait accompli. It's a fact. Ki lo ninchal itam. We will not take our nachla there. Ki vo nachlasein aleinu. Our nachla is here. So Moshe Rabbeinu answers, if you're willing to go and you want to take your nachla here, fine. But you have to go, okay. Vayitein lehem Moshe livnei God, livnei Ruvein lechatzi sheva Menashe ben Yosef. Where does chatzi sheva Menashe ben Yosef jump into the picture? The only ones who spoke to him were bnei God, bnei Ruvein. And then, when it talks about the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael and the division of Eretz Yisrael, how it's going to be divided, it talks about the Ari Miklot. It says, and there's six Ari Miklot, three in Ever Yarden for three Shvatim, and three in Eretz Yisrael for three Shvatim. And Chazal say, why was that necessary? 9.5 shvatim need 3 orei miklat, and 2.5 shvatim need 3 orei miklat. Why is that? Why should that be? Make it proportional. It says no, because every yard there's going to be a lot of ritzichas. What does that mean? Every yard there's going to be a lot of ritzichas. What? Something wrong with the roads when people drive? What's wrong? I mean, something in the climate there that makes more ritzichas. Something the water people drink. Why the more ritzichas? Let's try to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu told them and what the pshara was. Anyone who learns Zrayim knows Eretz Yisrael is Kaddish. Eivar Yarden is half Kaddish. It's a lower level Kedusha. Many, many mitzvahs. It's not non-Kadosh. It's Kadosh. Kedushas Haaretz is the goal of living in Eretz Yisrael. It's because of the Kedusha in the land enables one to live his life on a higher level of Kedusha and a higher level of Ruchnis. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us living in Eretz Yisrael. But there's a sort of half Eretz Yisrael. That's every Yarden. Every Yarden has Kedushas Haaretz, but doesn't have Kedushas Haaretz. But on Chutz Haaretz, it's not as good as Eretz Yisrael. What is it that we're being told by Bnei God and Bnei Reuven? Bnei God and Bnei Reuven says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since he gave us so much money, it must be he wants us to use that money right over here and live our lives on a separate level of Kedusha. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault. He shouldn't have given us all this flock. Shouldn't have given all these cows and the sheep and the goats and the chickens and the turkeys or whatever else they had. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault. Why did he give us all this money? We have to do something with it. How are we going to do something with our Yisrael? Well, sometimes when people live on an elevated level and living on that elevated level, and when they have to then go into real life, they feel the only way they can succeed in real life is with compromises. And Moshe Rabbeinu told them, no, go into Eretz Yisrael and live a much higher life than you think that you can live. Just because you have all those cows and those sheep and their goats doesn't mean they're going to have to compromise on your madrega. And don't blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you the opportunity and thereby compromise on your madrega. No. You'll be able to have all those cows and those goats and those sheep in Eretz Yisrael with the same economics, but on a higher level of Kedusha. Had they said, we're not interested in Eretz Yisrael, b'chlal, we'll go back to Mitzrayim and zero Madrega, that's what the Meraglim did. But they didn't say that. They said, we want a 50% Madrega. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them a very simple thing. If you're opting for 50% Madrega in your Yiddishkeit, then I'm going to guarantee you in the future, Rabu HaRatzchanim, not Ratzchim B'meisid, Ratzchim B'shogeg. What's a Ratzach B'shogeg? Someone who's sloppy, and because he's sloppy, makes all sorts of mistakes, ends up killing somebody. He's driving recklessly. It's an automobile accident. And he kills someone. If he had the true value for human life and understood that every human life is a tzelem Elokim, is a chelik olkam imal, it's his life and the other person's life, he wouldn't drive recklessly. Why is someone driving recklessly? Because at the end of the day, deep down, he doesn't believe that human life is so valuable, it's a tzelem Elokim, it's a chelik olkam imal. And the Gemara's lashon, emal nafsho ein echotzav nafshei chaveiro kolshkei. If he doesn't worry about his life, he's still not going to worry about anybody else's life. Because if you understood that what gives our life value is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're going to want to opt for the highest level of Kedusha. You're not going to stick with the 50% Kedusha that's there in Avar Yarden. You're going to want the 100% Kedusha. And they insisted, Kilo Ninchal Ito. We will not cross that yard. If you say no, we're going to stay here anyway. We're here. We're here at 50%. All we want is 50%. Moshe Rabbeinu said, fine. If all you want is 50%, keep 50%, but don't discourage everybody else from going to 100%. And find very interesting. Who's talking? Ne God Mene Ruve. Ne God Mene Ruve and talking. Chatzi Sheva Menashe is not talking. But all of a sudden, when Moshe Rabbeinu says the arrangement that's going to happen, what does he say? Vayiten lehem Moshe, Negor b'nei Reuven, ulchatzi shevet Menashe ben Yosef. And he gave them. Vayayim Negor b'nei Reuven leimor, eshe shadibar Hashem, kenatze nachm navo, vayiten lehem Moshe, Negor b'nei Reuven, ulchatzi shevet Menashe ben Yosef. So in the Tziv, if you take a look in the Tziv in Hamikdavah there, it's a whole bunch of psukim to show that Menashe and Yosef didn't have all that flock. They didn't have everything. Menashe and Yosef, they were one of the shvatim that was sitting and learning Torah in a complete way. And they volunteered. Okay, these people are looking for 50%. We'll stay here. We'll be the Lomdei Torah for them. We'll be the Kiruv outreach program for them, whatever else. And we'll make sure that their madrega doesn't collapse. That's very noble on their part. It's a very noble thing. On the other hand, who were the first shvatim to go into Golos? B'nei Gad, B'nei Ruvain, L'chatzi Shevet, Menashe ben Yosef. Because when hundreds and hundreds of years later, because of the temptations of Avodah Zarah, the first shvatim to sort of disintegrate in their Yiddishkeit was B'nei Gad, B'nei Ruvain, L'chatzi Shevet, Menashe ben Yosef. 50% Yiddishkeit is a very dangerous thing. 100% would do, they kept all the mitzvahs, but it's a 50% commitment. 50% commitment means you're going to be sloppy. You're sloppy with everything because you don't have that true understanding of where and what human life is about and what God gives chashivas to human life. What gives chashivas to human life is our connection with HaKadosh Baruch. It's not how much money we make. No. It's not how many Nobel Prizes we win. No. It's not how many XYZ we do. No. It's one thing and one thing only, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch. And if you only give that 50% value and you don't realize what it's all about, then you don't give anybody else's life value because you haven't gotten it. And you're going to be sloppy with your life, you're going to be sloppy with somebody else's life. And in the end, not chas v'shom yirotzech b'mezik, the number of rotzchim b'shchagog is going to go all the way up because that's what happens when people are sloppy. And we begin Parshas Maaseh. It's interesting Rashi at the beginning. That all the Masos, they went ahead and they went back and they went ahead and back. The Masos were supposed to be the Madregas. They were supposed to go step after step on the way to reach the Madrega Terer Shisrael. It's not always a one-way street. They made steps ahead, they made steps back, then they kept going. And that's what life's about. Life's about, in the world of Ruchnius, steps ahead and steps back until you finally reach your goal. But you have to have a goal. And when you want to have a goal, you have to keep that goal in mind at all times. It has to be a clear goal. Because if you don't have that clear goal in mind, you just wander around. And the question is, what is that goal? So if that goal is maximum, Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it's a question how I get there, how I maintain it, you have a 100% goal. But if you have a goal of a 50%, you're never going to reach 50%. Because you don't have the drive, you don't have the ambition to reach. Life steps ahead and steps back, and you keep pushing ahead. what life's all about. And person had, and different people have different ambitions. Sometimes I sit down with people, so I ask them a very stupid question. So what do you want to do 10, 15 years from today? Sure. Many people in the room have heard me asking that question. And the answer to that is very telling. Many people say, well, I don't want to learn, sit and learn forever. I didn't ask them what they didn't want to do. I asked them what they did want to do. So apparently what they want to do is not learn. Then the question I ask people, I get all sorts of different answers. It's very telling about the answers I get to that. Life is a very interesting thing. There are two types of life. Everyone has a prime goal in life. And there are a lot of secondary goals. And that prime goal in life is what defines your life. Some people, their prime goal is ruchnis. So how are they going to make parnasa? Okay, so parnasa becomes an obstacle course. I'll do it this way, I'll do it that way. But my goal is I have to be a talmid chacham. My goal is I have to live life as the biggest ben Torah and bring up the most Torah-dika family that I can. So let's then figure how am I going to make parnasa in order if I'm going to do that. So you define what your life's about. And then you begin figuring out afterwards what, how you're going to do it. It's sort of an obstacle course that happens. Negob Ne Ruvain, that's not what it was about. Negob Ne Ruvain, what did they say? We got tremendous wealth. Now let's try to figure out, once we're going to take care of that wealth, what else is going to happen? And they told Moshe a very interesting thing. And they said, we'll build corrals for our flock, and we'll build cities for our children. Moshe Rabbeinu answered, build cities for your children and corrals for your flock. And Chazal tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you put your flock first and your children second. Just the opposite. Your children come first and your flock comes second. Now I ask, is there a single Jewish father, if you ask them, what's more important, your children or your money, who would say, my money's more important than my children? I don't think there's a single normal Jewish father who would say that. Now here we have Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven. Well, no one would say that, but a lot of people live their lives that way. Because the way they make their decisions in life is first, how am I going to make the most money? Okay. Then the next question is, okay, so can I find chinuch for my kids there? Or can I raise a from family there? What's going to be with my children? It's another way of making a decision in life. Where am I going to live so I can bring up children who will be the biggest Bnei Torah, biggest Yerei Shemayim? And then among those places, where can I find a parnasa? And a lot is how people live their lives. The moment Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven told Moshe Rabbeinu what they told him, so they said, I don't think they spelled it out in their minds, but what was implicitly happening in their minds was something else. our most important thing that's going to determine everything in our life is how we're going to take care of our sheep and our goats and our cows. Okay, now we also have to worry about our children. That's what they were saying. Oh yeah, we'll take care of our children too. But they set down very clear priorities in life. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu say in Parshas Maaseh? You know, they're going to do a lot of tzicha b'shogeg among you, those people. Because if that is how you're going to set down your priorities in life, and everything's going to revolve around that, and everything afterwards is just an afterthought, you don't really value life the way the Torah wants it valued. You're going to be sloppy with your life, you're going to be sloppy with other people's lives, and there's going to be ritzichas b'shogeg all over the place. You're going to need a lot more arei miklat. And not only b'nei God and b'nei Ruvein. It's standard way most people in the Orthodox Jewish community think about life. Whether it, they don't necessarily explicate it in their, that's how they live their lives. That's how they make their decisions in life. And then everything else comes afterwards. And it's not that they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. No. We're going to stay here at 50% Kedusha because our parnasa demands only 50% Kedusha. And if your parnasa depends only 50% Kedusha, allows you only 50% Kedusha, then you don't care about your children, Moshe Rabbein, they said. Then you're going to kill people for shogi. And then when push comes to shove later in life, and all sorts of pressures happen that happen later on, and you don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu around, who's pushing you, so whose Yiddishkeit disintegrates the first? That's when they go to Bnei Ruvein and the Akira professionals, Chatzi Shev Menashe Ben Yosef. This is a very powerful message. And it's a powerful message because didn't only happen 3,500 years ago. It happened the way people lead their lives. Every day and every year and every time I talk to people, the question is, what is foremost in a person's mind? We all have to worry about our ruchnius for the next 120 years and how we're going to pay the bills for the next 120 years. And their priorities, how I balance one against the other. It's a standard part of life. Most people in this room aren't at that position of feeling it now. They may be feeling it for the future. But when you're juggling a number of things, the question is, you have to keep your eye on the ball. What's your main issue and what's your secondary issue? What's the ikar of your life and what's the tuffle of your life? When people come to me, general aitzus, I have some very disheartening questions I ask them. So what's the most important thing in your life that you want? Okay, let's see how we're going to get that. That's your ikar. Then let's be, after you take care of the most important thing in your life, then let's see what else happens. You have to take care of a lot of other things, maybe. But never, ever give you up your ikar for a tuffle. In English, there's a famous expression about the dog wags the tail wags the dog. If something's a tuffle, it has to stay tuffle. If you turn a tuffle to an ikar, then all your ikar becomes a tuffle. When you make decisions in life, first you have to decide, what's the most important thing in my life? Number one. How am I going to maximize that? And then, once you understand how you're going to maximize that, then okay, there are other things I may want of life, so I'm going to arrange those as well. and the priorities in life. And that's how people lead intelligent lives. That's how they plan for intelligent lives. And that was the tragedy. B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. That they said clearly what was their number one goal in life. And I said, no, I don't think there's a single Jewish father in the world who could say those words, my money is more important than my children. They can act that way. They can run their lives that way, but no one's going to say it. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu told them. It's when they said, Gidros son nivne le meknenu po vi arm le tapenu. So what did they say? They said, we're taking care of our first thing, it's our money. Then, we'll also worry about our children. When you plan for your life, Rabbosai, never be like that. Understand, first things first and second things second. Ikir is ikir and tuffle and tuffle. What is a ben Torah? A ben Torah is someone who knows that when he's planning the next 120 years of his life, Torah is the center. He has to have a parnosa, he has to do a lot of things. But Torah has to be at the center. And too many people plan their lives, the money's at the center. They fall into the trap, and they go to B'nai Reuven. It's a tragic trap to fall into. Because in the end, their lives just fall apart. And they never even get that 50% that they thought they were going to achieve. An ikur is an ikur, tuffle is a tuffle. And make sure you make your decisions in life, the ikur stays ikur, and the tuffle stays tuffle.